Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Murad Muhammad, live on your blog. Coming to you at 6 o'clock p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to come on the air during the month of Ramadan. Well, we don't quit during the month of Ramadan. We work hard. It's like any other month. But the month of Ramadan is special to us because it allows us to be able to reflect on the good things that we was created to be able to do. And sometimes when you have a very busy schedule and you are occupied in trying to make things happen in society, you can neglect the things that you ought to do in recognizing that nothing happens without the will of Allah. Not a leaf falls from the tree without the will of Allah. So we got to all understand, brothers and sisters, that Allah is with us whether we know it or we do not know it. But when you tune in on Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent, Mirage Speaks, you will find 7 days a week that we try to enlighten you. And we thank all of you that come out and take time out of your busy schedule and turn us on to see if, in fact, we can increase your knowledge. We can enlighten you to be able to grow in society. And that's what you should love to do. You should love to want to grow in life, for Allah asks us to study from the cradle to our grave. And if you would do that, you will find that you will be easier to make it through this society and make it to the hereafter. The hereafter is where all of us would love to go, of course. And you will understand that if, in fact, you recognize that you have the ability to make it to society. But Satan is not going to allow you to do that if you pay attention to him. Because his job, brothers and sisters, is to do what? Is to take you away from what Allah wants from you. That's Satan. And we say that Satan is chained. Chained meaning locked up. He can't get to us during this month. Now, that's a good thing to say, but do you understand it? Do you comprehend it? Or do you care anything about it's being said? There's a lot of things that are being said that we don't understand, but yet we say it. And we just repeat it, but comprehend it. And because of that reason, you can't bring it to fruition so you can manifest your excellence that God has given to the human being. And so tonight we're going to discuss things a little different, only because if you saw the closing remarks of the prosecutor and the defendant attorney in the George Floyd case, if you heard that, you will see that we have the strong capabilities. I mean strong. We have the strong capabilities, brothers and sisters, to be able to understand what in the world is going on. In life, it's televised. You can see it for yourself. But they like to make us think that what you see, you are Ray Charles or you are Stevie Wonder. You are any blind man that can't see. We can see very well. We can comprehend very well. But right in front of us, we see racism for itself. I'm a student of Imam Wallahuddin Muhammad, and I take pride in saying that I'm a student of Imam Wallahuddin Muhammad. He informed us that Satan no more has shame. He has no shame whatsoever. He just do anything today. Because we are in the last days. Every day is the last day of being in this world, meaning the way man has described it to be. We're in that last day. The final day of judgment will come right after that, but every day is a judgment day. Keep that in mind, that every day is a judgment day. And I want to talk about not only about what is going on, far as if you can recollect the case that took place about George Floyd. It's a case that really makes you upset with what we have to pay attention to. They're killing our children, literally killing our children. And we'll sit on national TV and try to make us think that what we saw didn't even exist. Now I turned on Instagram that was sent to me. Oh, no, it was a messenger. And there was a brother in the white garments. And when you see that type of clothing, the first thing comes to your mind, oh, that's Islam. And when you see that kind of clothing, you realize and that that is Islam. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true at all, because I can tell when one is trying to trick you. And this brother was trying to tell you that he, the needle, yes, he took that needle, but he wanted to tell you that he's not here to tell you you should take the needle. And he is saying that you should not want to take the needle, or you should want to take the needle. He's not here to tell you that. But it's clear evidence that we was taught by Imam Al-Husayn Muhammad that words make a people. And my God, you can tell he's being paid. And he sounds good. He knows the Arabic language very well. And he looked like someone from the eastern part of the world in the clothing he wore. That was to get your attention that this is Islam. Clothes don't make you approve that you are in Islam. They're clothing. Clothes, you don't wear your religion on your sleeves. Clothing material substance is not attached to God. So you can wear whatever you want, but that's not the point. The point is that this young man speaking Arabic used the phrase that I don't give a damn how you feel, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So he figured he wanted to prove he was down to earth. He had no accent, but he speaks English very distinctly. But when I knew he was a fake, when he says, tie your camel and then trust in Allah. Now, there's a problem with that. See, Ali Baba of the 40 thieves, that's a perfect. And that saying belongs to that man. Ali Baba was the 40 thieves. He was a liar, he was a stealer, and he did things that man will do on earth. So he attached that with God. He attached an animal with God. Didn't Allah say he needs nothing from his creation? Surely he don't need anything from man. So when you say Allah, he stands alone. He's not attached. If you don't trust in God only, not a camel, tie your camel. How you going to, the saying is, hold on to the rope. And Allah will not let you go if you don't let the rope go. So now you got to tie on to a camel before you trust Allah. But he was really trying to say, you take a step and Allah will take two. That's not what he said. He brought in a movie with Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves, trusting Allah but tie your camel. And this is the kind of stuff that I don't appreciate. Or at the same time, he's selling the idea, you Muslims, go take that shot. And that's what's really going on today. But we will deal with it. The point I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, that is very hectic to do Juma, then go on the radio, then do various different things in life. That's okay. Allah put a burden on me that I cannot withstand. But I have to come out and just give you an idea of what just took place. And first of all, I want to suit that attorney general. He was a black man. He did a wonderful, wonderful job. Now, is he going to win? Allah's the best knower. But he did such a great job that he was able to cross-examine. He did excellent. He brought all the actual facts out. But have you heard that opposed attorney? He tried to make us look like we were deaf, dumb, and blind after seeing what you can see. And they want us to believe that that did not happen. There's no way that man didn't leave any pressure off his neck because he had his hands in his pocket. And it didn't look like he feared anybody, as the opposing attorney said so. And then who was he fearing? The prosecutor brought out that it was 7-8 of them. One was a little girl, 7 years old. Another one was an old lady. Men and women in all walks of life. They didn't disrespect the officers at all and had 5 officers. 5 of them. Not counting the one that had his knee on his neck. That's 6. But they was looking around fearing that the crowd was getting rowdy. He played that game, that lawyer, to make people believe that black folks is a threat. But there was white folks there too. Caucasian, Latino. They was there. They was just begging him to get his knee off of his neck. And then they try to say he balances. So you can't balance yourself with your hands in your pocket. He was afraid that mace in their face. He threatened them with his hands in the pocket. And they say he was scared because something could have happened to the crowd. What crowd? It was 7-8 humble people. Had nothing. But when he tried to punch holes in the actual fact, that prosecutor ate him up. Made him look like he just came from kindergarten. Shows you how intelligent we are today. We ain't slow. They want you to believe we are slow. But in his closing argument, he said things. He said, they say there's 2 sides to a story. And this attorney, it did just that, brought you a story. It's one imagination. That's how you make stories. And he came out with a couple of films where he's talking about so you can get it straight. And he said, and then he used that he was fearful, but yet he got the gun. He got the badge. He got the mace. He got the walkie-talkie. And there's 5 more with him. And they was fearful of their life, and they had the guns, and they had the power to do whatever they want with the badge. He said, but I'm here to address. Now, all you jurors, there's one y'all forgot about. And that one is here. And even I was trying to comprehend what he's talking about. There's 12 jurors. It's a 13 one. Who is this 13 jurors? And I knew he had it when he said, his name is Common Sense. Common Sense. So let's tell his stories. The story about he had drugs in his system. The stories about that he had drugs on his front seat, which was one pill. The fairy tale. Call it sometimes fairy tales. And he ate him up with all those fairy tales. But the key to me in his closing statement, he said, you don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer. But this little girl, 7 years old, couldn't have been a doctor or a lawyer. Common sense. Get your knee off of his neck. Now, I'm quite sure your jurors are not little girls, but you got common sense. And common sense that all that fairy tale that was told to you was to get this man that did what you actually saw and make you believe it don't even exist. I said, go ahead, and young man. He did a wonderful job. And then when he closed the show, he said, the attorney says to me, he said, George had a big heart. His heart was strong enough. His heart was strong enough that he should have been able then. And because he did drugs is why he died, because he had a weak heart. And he closed out by saying, yes, he did. He had a big heart. But the man that killed him has a little heart. And he mentioned the police officer. I said, you're going to be a racist, literally a racist, to not understand the man that killed George was a murderer. But for some reason, and I'm quite sure all attorneys might do something like that, for some reason, they did not talk about, some reason, about George Floyd was the head of a security, and that cop was on that security, and George was the boss. And George took pictures with a lot of white women. He was jealous. Because if you recollect in that opening or those things that was brought out, you'll find out the police officer said, oh, you're a tough guy now? What do you mean? Couldn't have met earlier because he was crying like a baby. Don't kill me. You're going to kill me. Oh, I'm not going to live. He knew that guy. And he's always wanted to get him. But they didn't bring that out. And I'm quite sure the prosecutor said, no, we're going to stay away from that. Too much to even use that. This was premeditated. That's why they hold and wait for, I got the guy you want. And they came to get him. Now, the gentleman that turned him in for $20 counterfeit money in reality, and they didn't deal with it, but in reality, he didn't know that $20 bill was counterfeit, because why would he be parked outside the from the store? He would have got out of there. So somebody gave him the wrong bill. But even so, is it worth to lose your life for $20? Now, what the prosecutor did at the end, he tried to get the judge to give him the rights that if they lose this case, they got to appeal. And some judge will do that. I didn't know if this judge was going to do it or he was not going to do it, but I do know one thing. All the time, he used the word story. Used the word foolishness. The word that he shouldn't have. The judge said, well, I told the jurors, strike that. Not once, twice. And he did say such and such, and when I corrected him, he didn't say anymore, so I overruled you. That was our first one. Meaning, I'm not giving you a pass to be able to come back to me on an appeal. He said, I dismissed that. It is what it is. That was another sign that this boy is guilty. But they rigged first degree, second degree, third degree, and come out with a fourth degree. Never heard of it. Meaning, even if you find him guilty, give him the 10 years, he do 5, he home. Brady give him the maximum. Because it sends a message. It sends a message around this country. It sends a message around the world. And this message around the world allows us to make a stand that, like one attorney, he said, if we don't send these men to jail, if we don't make them pay a great deal of money in these cities and these states and everybody, there's the only way you're going to stop this. Because it costs in the mayors, the governors, a great deal of money. We got to stop this. And hopefully that the good officers will step forward. They're trying to pass, brothers and sisters, a law that if you do anything of this nature, you not only go to jail, but you lose your pension, it's going to cost you a lot of money. And it's the only way you're going to stop them in their pockets. Now, brothers and sisters, some of the biggest war, I'm talking about the biggest war in the history of the Islamic world was during the holy month of Ramadan. Meaning, we fight those who fight us. And what is the month of Ramadan? We say, while we making salat, you brothers got our back, you watch us. And when they make their salat, we watch them. And this during the wartime. But we don't ever not make our prayer. But Allah is saying, pray and get up and go to work. We have to fight against those who fight against us. But we don't break our principles. We don't kill women and children, old men. We don't burn down houses of worship. No. We fight against those who fight against us. And we will give our life. Because we all do it for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. So you've seen children being killed. They just had on YouTube a lieutenant in the military, but he was smart. They wanted him out of that car. He said, for what reason? God, holler at God. They had two hollering. One said, put your hands on that window. The other one said, take that seatbelt off. He didn't know which one to listen to, but he knew if he went down like he was going to take that bucket up, they'd have shot him. I thought he had a gun. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take it loose. He wasn't getting out of the car. And they were screaming and hollering for him to get out of the car. He said, I'm not getting out of the car. He said, I served this country. They never knew he was a lieutenant in the military. They fired the girl. They fired the other one. But what do it mean? He said, if I'd have moved my hand, I was a dead man. He said, because I know procedures, I took it on the chin. So, yes, they got to get them because this is the military who protects this country. They are not no sheriff or a state trooper or marshal. They're not detectives. He was a soldier man that put his whole life on the line outside this country. So I know that messed him up, but it shows what's going on. Another kid, his mother gave him a car. He had a tree hanging from his mirror. And this young boy, they had to get out the car. I don't blame him. They killed him anyway. Made him get out, pull him out. He put his hands up and they shot him. Well, what about the other who shot him? The lady that shot him thought she was pulling her teaser out, what do you call it? And that's life. She know perfectly well it wasn't no it was a gun because it was heavy. And she shot from the back over her man and hit him right in the chest. He died. What about the 70-year-old who was scared and was running? And they tried to catch him when they saw him hiding. Get out from there. Put your hands up. 7 years old, got out, raised his hand, and got shot him anyway. It's got to stop. And that's why most of us just hear, but we ain't trying to do anything about it. We're not trying to do nothing whatsoever about it. And the only way we're going to be able to win these cases is to support the next door neighbor. Whether it's your child or not, you have to be with that individual. It has nothing to do with the complexion of their skin. It has nothing to do with what nationality. They are human beings. And because they are human beings, we're supposed to join them. There's a lot of us. Just in New Jersey, we as Muslims in El Islam in New Jersey is 400,000. Where are you? Where are you? Where's our meat? 400,000? Where are you? I'm going to tell you where you are. Unconsciously, you work for Satan. And Satan got you seeing very different colors. That's why I like to talk about Jesus. If you understood Jesus, he wouldn't act this way. But you don't care. You don't give a damn. My brothers and sisters, we have lost our deen as a feature. We have gotten away from our soul and our spirit. And my God, we'll operate without our taqwa. And yet, this is the holy month of Ramadan. I got a problem with that. I have a problem with that because who suffers is our people. Our people suffers. And we suffer because we don't have no one to turn to, and so we just do anything. Like that gentleman is telling you, oh, I'm not telling you to take the needle. Well, what the hell are you doing on my Instagram? Well, I'm not telling you not to shoot the needle. Then what the hell are you doing on my Facebook? Well, I'm saying to you, I have a right. Yes, you have a right. God gives you freedom to have a right. But you don't have no right to teach someone how to take something that no one knew what the hell is in it. It don't make sense to me, but it's happening. It's you who don't want to eat right. It's you who don't want to be into your homes so you can be in Mother Ramadan, be with your family. They got you believing you go out. Well, they didn't go out. They didn't go out. And that's what it is. Tom, I cannot blame that on anyone, especially Blog Talk Radio, because I had a technical difficulty. Three people called me back to back, and I hit the button. And I guess it got jammed up and cut me off, and I had to call back in. Well, these things happen. It was a break. Key factor is that we're not together collectively, as I was reiterating. And because we're not together collectively, Allah frowns upon that. Yes, we all broke Ramadan. We're doing Ramadan collectively. But that's the rituals. But Allah said we're one community. And because we're not one community, you believe Allah is assisting us? No. You don't listen to your soul. Let me show you. You say, well, Murat, how could you say that? Do you read that in the Quran? Yes. Where you get it from, Ra? Well, I'm going to give it to you. Allah says, I will not help a group of people until they help that which is bothering their soul. This is Allah talking. So, can you comprehend what that means? Because Satan and his imps will tell you, I told you Allah will not help you. That is not what God is saying. We all have a soul. And Allah gave us a soul so it can talk to us. Do you talk to your soul? Some of you don't even know how to talk to your soul. Allah gave you a soul. So what is bothering your soul? That's why Allah will not talk to us, because you will not listen to your soul. So let me say it again, and maybe you'll comprehend it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorifies his name. He says, I will not help a group of people, meaning not an individual, a group. Could be a group of Italians, could be a group of Irishmen, could be a group of African American, could be a group of Latinos. I will not help a group of people until they help that which is bothering their soul. So if you ain't listening to their soul, why would God help you? You turn a deaf ear to your soul. But yet your soul speaks to you. One Ummah, one community. Oh, you hear it, but you ain't practicing it. So let's get to what it means by unity. When the Pakistanians was in Pakistan, they all prayed together, walked together, talked together, eat together. Keep in mind, Pakistan and India, they're the only group of people dressed alike, eat the same kind of food, because the Europeans came over there and separated them. But they still dress alike. And you can't tell one from another. But they separate. So one think they better than the other. Okay. Not as worse as it is over here, but let's go further. The Arab associates with the Arabs. When they come to prayer, whatever they do it what? Right now. The Turks was together. Turks was strong. They fought there. You didn't mess with the Turks. Today they separated. Where's the Pakistanis? Where's the Indians? India. Where's India? Where's the Arabs? Here in America. And because they had that separation at home, they separated here. They all got what you call community. And if you don't ride over there to that community, you'll never see them. They're not coming in your community. Because your community is not on their level. You in the ghetto, brother. But here is it. Here we are that came to Islam, alhamdulillah. And today, we're on our seventh day. We're waiting for, after we break prayer, we start off our eighth. But forget countries. Springfield's with Springfield. Clinton Avenue's with Clinton Avenue. Bergen Street is with Bergen Street. Chancellor Avenue's with Chancellor Avenue. Elizabeth Avenue is with Elizabeth Avenue. And can I go on? We are cut up and tried. And you think Allah gonna reward you? You cut up in tribes because this is not a Islam. But yet, we come out on Juma, but we don't go to everybody's masjid. We got cuts going on here. And because Satan separated us collectively, we're not powerful. Brothers and sisters, they did a survey because they say the Muslims was terrorists. And they got a lot of money to be able to write those checks for our taxpayers' monies to survey us. And your email represented that. But when they got that healthy check, not one of us knew they had it. It wasn't for a brother going into the Muslim Journal, you all would know that money was given to say, I apologize. You want your money that they took from us during slavery? Do they owe us? It's like the money came and all the preachers and all the imams and all the different men of the cloth got the money, but not the American people that was ancestors of slavery. Now, that didn't happen. That was just a metaphor. So what happened, they kept the money until they got exposed. And when they got exposed, they made, brothers and sisters, we will tell you, we'll be back in 2 weeks back in the park, and you never saw them again. You think Allah will not help us? Well, guess what? Y'all stuck under that COVID-19, every last one of you. All y'all that say y'all trust in Allah, y'all fear Satan. They are saying today that all these masks got come back because the people who die is because of that mask. Which one? Well, they didn't tell us which one. They just said mask. They want to return back because people are dying. And we walking around with all that germs going back in us. And the ones that really die is those sick ones that sick internally. They don't have no clue. The doctor said the reason why your loved ones are in that damn hospital, that's what he said, is because of those masters. There ain't no COVID-19. You've been tricked. You've been bamboozled. And we are dying like so-and-so just died. Yeah, so-and-so just died. Did you know brother so-and-so died? Because you didn't die, you think you ain't going to die. So a lot of trying to show us, got it all on TV. Look what they, and you know what y'all say? Oh, that's a shame. But you don't give a damn. They don't see no one trying to find out how we going to help these kids in the street. And that's why the kids don't care nothing about you. They don't even want to know their dad. Hell with them. He ain't did nothing for me. You know, we used to say that when we got older. Well, we came under the arm of Elijah Muhammad. We learned to love our father. Today, you ain't got nobody helping you. The father don't mean a damn thing to them. Because why? I tell you why. You ain't doing a damn thing for them. You sit around and hope that you die tomorrow or next week, not consciously. It's a shame. It's a disgrace that we ain't got a group. 400,000 of us. We got to look for Black Lives Matter. 400,000. All we got to do is follow the sinners of Prophet Muhammad for the day sat down. And we will take over Jersey. 400,000. But guess what? That Satan got your gin. And that gin is going off. Meaning, stay away from it. They just came out in the New York Times. It's a shame that the minorities can't get nothing, can't get a loan, can't get this, can't get that. And I get a call, brothers and sisters, very distinguished young man. I will say I believe he's black, but he's talked so distinctly that you can't tell who's on the other line. But I was able to say things to him. He picked it up real quick. And then he said, my God, it's a blessing talking to you. And I knew he was African-American. Because most Caucasians don't give you that kind of accolade. So he exposed himself. But I wouldn't have known. But he came up with an idea. He came up with an idea to save the homes of people who are losing their homes. And his idea with a group of attorneys, his idea is to get people in home but can't go in there because they don't have the money. And he is saying the most we will charge is 3%. Well, you can't get in a house less than 9%, 10%. That's a lot of money. Or multiply it by 30 years because that's what you take out, 30 years. So that means you can go into your nice home, your home, brother, sister, something you can leave for your children if you pass. You can go in your home with small money down, but we're going to give you the credit. 3%. So now your loan ain't $2,000 a month, $2,500 a month. You'll be lucky that is probably $900, $1,000. And they want everybody that costs it is COVID-19 is why this group want to do this. Why they call me? Because I got a good name. I'll be on this show for the next 5 hours to tell you all the people that call me. I said, I like it. I like it because you didn't say what you can do for yourself, even though they have to make money. They're not no freak, but they want to help people to get out of that hell that you're in. And those who lose their home, they will save their home. Why me? Because you got all the people, Marat. They all listen to you around the country. I said, I'll come and we hold a press conference and we announce from here to the West Coast, we can get your home saved. Send one person to work. I think that's good because all four of them in that house is working. But just give me one. So if you got three that can't work because of COVID-19, and the one who is suffering the worst is the ones we want first. That's our Islam. Well, where is the Islamic brothers and sisters saying that? Because here in New Jersey, so I go to New York, Should I go to Connecticut? Should I go to Philadelphia? Here in New Jersey, you go into one of these foreign countries, foreign countries in New Jersey, and they'll look at you like you some stranger that walking out in the masjid. And don't wear our culture, which they don't know, because when you wear the robe and you wear the kufi, you make it look like them. But go in there and look like you are born in America. Who the hell is this coming here? A stranger. How could I be a stranger when Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chose Bilal? Bilal was a slave. When one guy mentioned that Bilal was like us, the prophet said, we are all Bilalian. Let them know you don't judge that man by his nationality. We're all Bilalian. Well, you know that, Brother Sheikh. You read that, Brother Sheikh. But in America, we're split up in tribes, and we ain't all Bilalian. Because we African Americans is like Bilal. We were slaves. Prophet said, you from Saudi Arabia, you're Bilalian. You from Pakistan, you're Bilalian. You from Africa, you're Bilalian. We are Bilalians, brothers and sisters. But y'all couldn't grasp what it all meant. You read, but you can't comprehend, and that's why you cut up in tribes. And then you got a nerd to come on the air and tell everybody, well, I got my needle. Yes, I took my pork from that white man. Well, why did you eat pork? Well, you got to understand, they white, and they was God. And if they tell me to eat that pork, I'm going to eat that pork. Oh, okay. But with us, you ask me, is my food halal? And I'm your Islamic brother. Well, if it ain't halal, hey, brother, you hungry? You better say Bismillah. It's halal now. We all messed up. Well, brother, I'm telling you right now, don't make no prayer. I'm making my prayer. You are, yes. Why? I trust in God. Well, don't make five. I make my five and my sunnahs. Why? Because I trust in Allah. Out of the supermarket, make sure you go to halal. That's what I do. I don't do any of that. Okay. I got it. You strict. Alhamdulillah. What do you say, white man? Wear a mask. Oh, yes, sir, boss. Yes, because I know you know. I know you know about all of this. Yeah, they just found out that there's not a needle they stuck in our arms as little boys wasn't poison. Whoa! Everything within us was poison, supposed to mess us up. Some of us went crazy a little bit, but we survived with not knowing. Because Allah protected us. We had no fear, brothers and sisters. Today, we have fear. And they don't look like us. And don't you stand up and say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. I openly bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad the prophet is a slave servant and messenger of God. Well, Abdallah, you're not a doctor. And how do you know this? But old Fauci and Bill Gates been that mad science that you should call Satan, time, that man is giving you everything that you said that's good for you. Yes. It's amazing. Allah tried us, and we just dropped the rope. We dropped the rope, brother. Said, I'm sorry. I come on this show to tell you this, watching what's going on. pray a lot, they give this man this and send a message around the world. But if they don't, you're going to tear this country up. And not just this country. Indirectly, you know who Black Lives Matters and what they're doing? They don't know Islam. They don't. Just like you say, when we filed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we didn't know Islam. We didn't. Did we believe God was Farad? There was a little toss-up with that. But even if we did, we didn't believe in that white man no more. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was smart because Farad had to look like the white man. Was on the likes of track. And he came here to find the lost and found. He found the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And my God, we was just like Black Lives Matter. We mattered so much that we didn't do nothing with them. Nothing, brothers and sisters. We didn't go to no doctor. We didn't need no insurance on us. The one, we didn't believe we were going to die. Didn't fear them not to die, but more important, we didn't go see no doctors neither. We was eating one meal a day, 24 hours, and some 72 hours. We ate what we knew that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to eat. We was powerful, just like Black Lives Matter. So those who was on the Sunnah were saying, who the hell are they? I mean, we making the five prayers. We know all of about the Quran. They don't even read the Quran like us, but yet we was the most powerful people in this country. I don't care what you say. We believed, and we were strong. Now you evolve in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you weak. You're so weak that those who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the Farrakhan is more stronger than you are. For your suffering, them FOIs and those NOIs and those MGTs, they got their own money because they move together collectively. But you want to knock them. Well, it seems like Allah has blessed them because then Farrakhan should have been out of here. Not because it was meant for him to pass. That man is sick. Yeah, but he ain't sick mentally. He ain't sick physically. He ain't sick spiritually. And then you have nerve to say he's not a Muslim. But you need to be smacked, because if I was out there taking a choice and I saw what y'all doing after Emmanuel Muhammad passed away, I would be with Minister Farrakhan. Them brothers is moving at one. Them brothers is delivering. Them brothers don't take no needle. Them brothers don't walk around with no masks on their face. But here we say we believe La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we have been given what Allah has given to us through one from amongst us. He might want us to be Muhammad. And guess what? You're not following him. So we're cut up in tribes. So I'm smart. I've been here for 10 years trying to help. Decide that I can take my vehicle and make it large. All I did was say, I'm coming back. Everything changed. It's almost as if a man was here and said, go to humanity like I told you. Unless Allah remove me, watch what I do in a short period of time. All of a sudden, here come everybody. I don't wear no mask. I make a mistake and go into Macy's. And they say, sir, oh, I'm sorry, you got a mask here? Yeah, I put it on. And got to get out of there in 15 minutes because I can't breathe. Just like that boy said, I can't breathe. You fool, you came and breathe. You came and breathe. And they know all their puppets. All y'all are walking around the mass, you're a puppet. And they know you're a puppet. They say, ain't no way in the hell he's following Allah. That's how Satan talks. But white folks, there's about 10 states that are hell with you, Satan. I'm opening up my state, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, and there's about 9 more. Don't have none of that. They don't care nothing about that anymore. You lied. It worked for a while, but it's not working here. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. And I got to look at it. I gotta walk around it. Well, I'm doing what the Prophet Muhammad said. I stay in that house with my family. I wake up with my wife. We go everywhere. I ain't alone. I got my other half with me. And that's what you're supposed to do. Muhammad the Prophet ain't never went out. Well, guess what? You can't go out. You can't even bury your own. You can't even go in your own hospital and say what my people should get and what they don't get. They shut us down. But we don't know how to shut them down because you're an individual. 400,000, who shut us down? What hospital? Oh, start me, brother, sister. I am closing out because I got me. I know it's at me prayer. Half an hour ago, no, 20 minutes ago. But Allah will bless me. I'll break my fast and make my great prayer. I say anything to hurt anybody. That is not my intention. If I say anything incorrect, I'm human. I make mistakes. We say subhanAllah. But I said anything that allows you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, that'll fit you, the nature in which you have to come back to because you left your nature. Stand up in your taqwa, your God conscience, and trust in Allah. Subhanallah, Allah glorify his name. I greet you. Don't give that credit to me. Give that to Prophet Muhammad. For delivering what Allah delivered to us. So therefore, it goes right to Allah. Give it to Allah. I greet you from our biological father, Adam, which is our type. And I was going to speak about that. But I shall return, inshallah, tomorrow. And I greet you from our father of the intellectual mind, all nationality, Ibrahim. And some people say Abraham. Peace and blessings be upon our Father. Keep in mind of the intellectual mind. So don't misconstrue, he's still the son of Adam. And I greet you from Jesus Christ, which means Muslim. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. Peace and blessings be upon his prophet and his sinners and his companions. Surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. And brothers and sisters, we want to make a dua. My nephew is in the hospital. We don't know what his level is going to be. He's up to 80 or 90. That's good with the machine. Until they take it off, we will not know if he's able to breathe on his own. So we make a dua for him. We make a dua for the CEO of our corporation, Pete. He is ill, but he did come home. He was right by. He never went under that machine, but he came home once, went back, came back again. So we make a dua for him also. We make a dua for Larry Hazard's son who's in the hospital. Same thing. They're all in there for their lungs. We make a dua for him also. And anyone else that I may have forgot, Allah is the best know our good intentions. Anyone that's ill or anyone that passed away, we ask Allah to separate their faults from their goodness. I'll separate each from Islam gender as the brother who passed away today. They say, I know him. but I don't have to know him. He's a human being. And his Jannazit was today, and Allah knows my thoughts. So we ask Allah to separate the faults from his goodness from as thou separate the east from the west and grant him gender. And those who are in the hospital trying to make it, we ask Allah to lift that burden, and allow them to breathe in his air. And so he can continue. You know, brothers and sisters, when you come out that womb, they smack you on your butt, because if you don't breathe in Allah's air and breathe that spirit in you, you come here brain damaged. The same way you will go if you don't breathe God's air. You out of here. And no mask going to help you. So we ask Allah for those who have helped them, those who are praying for them, and those who would love to give but not able to do so. It's called good intentions. So Allah will grant you barakats. That's the only way you're going to get into heaven is what have you done for humanity. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. Tomorrow is 7 to 8. I try not to go over. I shall return on Tuesday. That'll be my close to over 9 years of speaking on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise. Miraj speaks, and I was your host tonight, Miraj Muhammad. Peace and love. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan. Wa barakatuh.